League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Come on.
I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Jonathan Satofsky. Jonathan, are you ready to do this?
Let's go.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jonathan is a CFP, a CHFC, a CIMA. He is the founder of Satofsky Asset Management and the author of Your Rich Life, A Human Approach to Investment and Building the Wealth of Your Dreams. I'm excited to have you on. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
So thanks for having me, George. I think that many people stumble into the field of finance. Some people get into the field of finance because they have ambitions to make a lot of money. Other people get into finance to learn about it. Other people get into finance to approach it with the heart of a social worker and the mind of a capitalist to try to make an impact in people's lives the best you can. And for me, I had divorced parents at a very young age and saw a vulnerable mother and wanted to learn about money so that I made people as financially independent as possible, my mother being the primary root of that motivation. You know, I saw people being vulnerable and or being dependent on someone else, and it causes some pretty difficult decisions and a lot of angst and anxiety that I wanted to eliminate from certainly my own family's life, and wanted to use that knowledge base to help others.
I certainly appreciate that. And you are in the New York area and going through some unique times right now.
No doubt. The, root of Maslow's hierarchy of need is, psychological safety, safety of having somewhere to sleep, food, water, health, a lot of things that, as we're learning, as we're speaking today, liquidity is like oxygen. Everyone takes it for granted. And when it disappears, people can suffer a lot of pain. So it's a particularly unique moment in time for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So to have a substantive and meaningful conversation with that as the backdrop, we will do our best. So you've been at this for quite some time.
For 25 years, for a quarter of a century. So yes, I'm starting to date myself a bit.
Nice. And what was the motivator for putting pen to paper for the book?
So, what I've seen, and I think anyone that's been in the field of finance for 25 years and probably in any profession, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or police officer, people get in the profession thinking that they have to learn the skills that it takes, all of the knowledge-based skills that it takes to be book smart in a particular field. And, someone could be book smart. Coincidentally, I turned on the show Patch Adams the other day. I only watched about 10 minutes of it, but the excerpt that I saw was how one guy was super proficient and Patch was maybe equally book smart, but he brought a human element to it. So what inspired me to write the book is the fact that there could be rules and particular patterns of how people are supposed to behave in finance. You learn this, you're supposed to do this. So certainly, everyone can learn all the facts, but I don't think people recognize how much emotions play part in the field of financial decision making and, you know, financial planning, wealth management, investing. It's became much more intense for me the last 25 years. And you could certainly say that today everyone's feeling the intensity of how much emotions play a part in financial decision making. And so I wrote a book with the idea in mind that if I had to teach my children, my three children, or future generations, or people I love and care about, you know, this isn't about me. You know, I definitely don't have all the answers, but there are certain fundamental truths. You can take some basics and say, okay, here's what you're taught in school, but here's a lot of stuff in between the lines, the gray areas that you aren't taught about resilience, about emotional intelligence, about adversity, about being uncomfortable, about, you know, having a mindset of abundance over scarcity, of realizing that, you know, every setback is another frickin' growth opportunity for your polite audience. And, you know, there is not a perfect path. There is not a silver bullet. You're not going to find it on the internet. You're not going to find it searching through Google. You know, maybe you'll find it through some more greater introspection of understanding the root relationship that you have with money, and, you know, what someone says that they want isn't always what they want. So, you know, being a compassionate advisor and building a community of compassionate advisors, realizing that, you know, there's a major human element to be able to help an individual on their journey with their relationship with money so that they can be mentally and financially as strong as possible and resilient as possible to be able to weather whatever hurricanes or storms we're in. And as you know, we're in a little bit of a hurricane at the moment. So, you know, this will pass at some point in time, but the magnitude of the hurricane is always hard to measure. So it's maybe prescient that I wrote it. I started it in 2016 at the heels of, you know, seeing the emotions of people and just needing a venue to be able to rant.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. And we are sort of in the middle, well, not sort of, and I don't even know if we're in the middle. We're in the storm right now, and people are trying to make heads and tails out of everything. So how do you like to talk about this idea of abundance over scarcity just generally? And then maybe we can apply that to going through an event like we're going through.
Well, let's apply it to the field of finance and financial planning. And there's a big intersection, I think, people's education and understanding about money and numbers, you know, is complicated. So here, let me apply the idea of scarcity and abundance to financial planning. Sorry, I don't know how not to just jump right in. But, you know, in financial planning, one of the things that people need to be mindful of is the root of decision making, as odd as it sounds, is for me, has been approaching it like a medical professional of taking the diagnostics of someone's finances and doing an inventory of their blood work, like their balance sheet and their cash flow. Because how can you prescribe medication or how can you give advice without knowing someone's balance sheet and cash flow?
Right.
And that requires an intimate collaborative conversation ongoing to be able to stay on top of someone's balance sheet and cash flow so that people have enough liquidity, lines of credit, and or understanding of how things work for their own ecosystem to be able to weather, you know, what the range of outcomes, you know, can be in the world and how they can weather it. And certainly as it applies to the idea of abundance versus scarcity, if you're able to, and not, you know, 70 to 80% of the population has a very difficult time getting to a foundation level of knowing that their basic needs are being met. So getting to a point where that people have enough liquidity to be able to cover contingencies and emergencies, or, you know, going 2 to 8 weeks without, you know, without a paycheck. I mean, that's, you know, that's that foundational work of financial planning and work is, you know, crucial to be able to enable people to even dream about an idea of an abundance. So there's a lot of hard work that it takes both initially and over a lifetime, to perpetually remember habits and behaviors and discipline, to be able to pay yourself first and all the boring things that you learn in planning that you're like, you know, I don't have time to, you know, pay attention to those factors. But those factors, there's a reason that some basic principles are needed to be able to have a rainy day fund and to be able to, you know, cover emergencies and contingencies. Once you have those basic roots foundationally applied, then you can mentally imagine how you can bounce back and how you can weather storms. And again, everyone's not in that position, and it's very hard to get people in that position. And, you know, when people have setbacks, I guess the idea to apply for everyone in imagining what abundance would look like is to creatively come up with solutions to get to the other side of the storms that eventually hit you during your life, and how do you get through them with faith and confidence that you know, there's every setback is a learning opportunity for a bigger and better future.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So you focus in your practice with clients who are probably very wealthy, and probably clients who are on their way to be wealthy. Would you say that cash flow conversation is a through line with everybody? You have to, and they have to be constantly managing that and looking at it. That really never goes away.
Well, it's no longer just me. I've been fortunate to have a great team that helps me and helps, you know, extend the compassion and diligence of paying attention to someone's balance sheet and cash flow and their emotional state of mind through different points in time. But it's started a range. To give you an idea, one of the first clients that we started with was a partner at a major accounting firm. And I came in on a Saturday, and we got him saving $100 a month to get him out of debt. So I didn't exclusively only work with people that had a lot of money, but helping that single family go from a point of being in debt to getting in better habits and developing a structure and a discipline and getting them into a rhythm and a mindset of behavior that could help set a foundation, looking out to the horizon through their current storm, looking out 10, 20, 30 years down the road, realizing that, you know, life is a long journey and it's not a straight path. That single discipline from someone starting from really ground zero or negative, they had a negative net worth at the time, can transform someone, particularly if you're starting, you know, with nothing, to actually look at, you know, declines in financial markets, excited that you're, you know, buying stakes in businesses at, you know, at greater discounts and, you know, with greater optimism that you're thinking out 10 years, not 2 to 3 months. And it depends on where you are in your life cycle of when you need money in terms of asset liability matching. But it's a fundamental process that is needed. And, you know, the outcome, there is not a single day you can measure the outcome and feel totally relaxed, because it's a lifelong process. So if you ever totally relax and feel like you've got it all figured out, you're about to be hit in the head by a 2x4 and realize, you know, this too shall pass. But, right, you know, it's a perpetual process that needs to be constantly engaged and collaborated with people throughout the journey.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so it's always this combination of, obviously, you need to understand and have an understanding of how money works, but then it's the behavioral stuff. So we talked about how 70 to 80% of people may never reach that place where they have the cash flow stability to start dreaming about abundance. And is that just because they don't have somebody to sort of guide them along this process, like you were able to guide that person to get out of debt and then get on the path to prosperity?
You know, I think we all probably need a coach at different moments in our life. You know, I read about Tiger Woods having, you know, golf coaches to help him navigate. You know, you would think, wait, the best golf from the world, why does he need a coach? And, you know, often the most talented people, you know, even Tom Brady has a coach, you know, so everyone needs a coach. and or a partner, an accountability partner to help develop some discipline when you fall off track, because it's hard to stay disciplined. It's hard to, you know, many people don't have self-discipline to manage everything themselves because their mind meanders or they get seduced, you know, by various people that might be extraordinarily outspoken or confident. You know, when you hear media, particularly in days like we're living through today, you'll hear people express things with such dogmatic confidence of certainty. Oh, this is, you know, this is absolutely right. And, you know, their credibility could be based on what they most, you know, their most, their position of power or respect or trust. But that dogmatism of being right, of being absolutely right and absolutely certain, is something that people should be a little hesitant to take with such blind faith, because it causes people to change their path at sometimes the most inopportune moments in time when people are feeling most vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you can point to every segment of life there. If it is some financial pundit getting up and talking about the, maybe the market's doing awesome and you should jump on this opportunity, or it's doing terrible and you need to do this, or it's a politician, whatever it might be. I appreciate what you're saying 100%. Don't just believe them because they have their standing or their station. Maybe it's trust but verify. So especially
well,
in times
it's
like
just,
this,
it's just you know, you gotta obviously take care of yourself and your family and your loved ones and your ecosystem. But everyone needs to come to a position, and this is a really difficult process for everyone. It doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money and you want to protect the money that you have, or you have nothing and you're, you know, living on the edge of the cliff. You know, everyone needs to be able to find a way to get to a degree of inner calm to be able to be a rational, calm voice when everyone else is losing their head. You know, as the famous, you know, Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, you know, often commentate, you know, it's not intellectual intelligence, it's emotional intelligence, it's temperament that has differentiated their ability to be able to succeed over the last 50 years relative to most other people. Just trying not to do anything too stupid over time.
I appreciate that. Well, Jonathan, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I think I just threw it out there, but I'll just reiterate the idea to find a way to be able to come to a degree of inner calm, and patience, resilience, and the opportunity to learn every day and be open-minded to the fact that we have a long journey ahead and there'll be many storms that you have to weather, ups and downs, and the ability to be able to be mentally resilient for the purpose of leadership, for the purpose of personal development, and the purpose of your family and your community and your culture is an opportunity for every single person, no matter where their station is in life, to be able to take on.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets come on.
Come on!
And particularly in times like these. So I appreciate that very much. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? Where can they get a copy of the book?
I appreciate it. You can, you know, we have a website, satovsky.com, SATOVSKY.com, where we do provide wealth management to multi-generational families and endowments. And the book can be found on Amazon, Your Rich Life, you know, a human approach to building the wealth of your dreams is available on Kindle and in book form. And I think that whether you're interested in finance or you're interested in learning, it's a very short book with, you know, with pictures for those that don't like to read a lot. So we got images to make it a little bit easier, more digestible and relatable. I tried to write it so that anyone from the ages of seventh grade to 100 years old could be able to glean something. So I highly recommend people, you know, send me a email, and if there's anything that they gleaned from it, I would make me feel like I've made my small contribution. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jonathan your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to satovsky.com. Check out all the great resources they have on the site. Pick up a copy of Your Rich Life, A Human Approach to Investment and Building the Wealth of Your Dreams on Amazon. Thank you again, Jonathan.
Thank you, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.